Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. A father arrested for complaining about his son's homework.
He hates doing it.
We have the news report coming up.
You got a little bit of a chewing coming because of your employees, you know, the ones I pay for.
A father's desire, he says, to spend more time with his
I like the news report, lady.
A yummy sound.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Larry the Cable Guy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
His child landed him in jail.
Police tell us that what you just heard is Adam Sizemore leaving a message for the Oxford police chief. So he was arrested.
That is not Oxford, Connecticut.
No.
So you know.
Right.
It's Oxford, Ohio.
Oh.
And the guy sounds very southern for Ohio.
Very. Maybe it's southern Ohio.
So he was arrested after police say he repeatedly called the school complaining about the amount of homework that his son was being assigned.
Ken Brown tells us how those complaints eventually escalated into criminal charges.
Yeah, we're talking about homework here.
Too much homework and not enough time with his old man. That's what police say Adam Sizemore called his child's school to complain about.
Basically, the parent didn't like that his child was getting homework, so he decided he was going to call the school and call the school repeatedly over and over again.
Criminal complaints filed against Sizemore say he threatened the school principal, saying he, quote, better put his big boy pants on. When the school stopped taking his calls, detectives say he started calling the police department.
He calls dispatch, I think it was 18 times, roughly.
Okay, hold on a second.
Yep.
What does that mean? You better put your big boy pants on.
I don't know, but I'm on the side of the dad.
Right.
I was ready to go in, like, criticizing the dad, and now I'm just like, you know what? This guy is fighting for his kid. I wish my dad would have done that.
Yeah, too much homework.
I think it's more like dad doesn't know how to help the kid with the homework. What the hell is this stuff over here? What
called the
hell,
math.
What the hell, the fraction? I had a fraction. What the fraction wrist?
Yeah, that could be right. It's like, well, I don't understand any of this
right.
stuff.
I'm frustrated on the call. There's too much homework.
Yeah. But, you know, if you talk to any parent, they're like, between all of the extracurricular activities and soccer and sports and then the home, there's no time. From the time you get up in the morning.
You're busy.
To the time you go to bed, it's all about school and activities.
Yeah.
You got to have some time to play video games and get in trouble.
See?
Listen to dad.
We're on the side of the dad.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Listening to dad talk, I don't think that happened in his life.
Go ahead.
I want to talk to the chief. I need to talk to the chief. Call the chief, and you get the chief on the line. Page the chief.
In the audio recordings from the police department, you can hear Sizemore become audibly frustrated that dispatchers aren't telling him their name and that he keeps getting the chief of police's voicemail and they can't speak with him directly.
Leave a voicemail if he doesn't answer.
I'm being very nice.
Well, then come to the police department, and we'll call the chief in, and you can talk to him in person.
Yeah.
But no. I'm not.
That'll work out just right. Come on down here.
Come over here.
Come on down.
You may want to wear these.
They'll come right out to talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
We got a special room for you.
Right.
This is a holding area.
Right. And we got a book. A book to throw
the people who are about to speak to the chief. They sit right here.
Right.
We always close the door. Ta-dunk.
It's got a bed for overnight stays as well.
Right. Oh, and
you might have to wait.
For your comfort.
Three hot meals, too.
In case you want to take a nap.
Yep.
But no, I'm not calling him on the phone.
He can come to my house. I pay for him. He can come to my house.
After repeated calls, Sizemore did not get the chance to speak with the chief, but he did get to speak with officers.
Nice.
Damn, I'd like to talk to the chief.
Okay, and I have transferred you up there, so you need to leave him a voicemail.
I'm not going to leave a voicemail.
Okay, well, I'm going to send
him off. I have a feeling she could have said, hold on, sir.
Right.
Hello, this is the chief.
Right. Chase me.
It would have been like, all right, about damn time you got on the phone with me now.
I'm so glad that girl told me.
Yes, I think I was just talking to your sister, the dispatcher, but I'm glad I got you on the phone
now. You sound a lot alike.
Well, I'm going to send some officers out to your house to talk to you in person.
Wait.
Homework's good. Homework's good.
Yeah, I got some cops coming out to talk to you.
I don't want to hang on my kid anyway.
That ultimately ended when we took him into custody for telecommunications harassment as well as a menacing charge.
You gotta stick up for your son.
Sizemore was charged with two counts, misdemeanor, first degrees for telecommunications. The menacing charges he faces, a
hold
fourth
on,
degree.
Telecommunication harassment?
Right.
That's a thing?
Apparently is now.
Wow. AJ, Joe the car Nazi.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's a number of people you could have picked up and questioned.
Get those cuffs ready.
Misdemeanor, first degrees for telecommunications. The menacing charges he faces, a fourth degree misdemeanor as well.
Fourth degree misdemeanor.
Right,
is that, is first degree worse? Fourth degree is?
Yeah, first degree is the worst.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's funny how you know all this cop stuff.
Thank you,
Agent 9. Jeff from Brewport Brewery.
Yay.
In studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Is it Bacon Week over there?
It is Bacon Week, but that's not why I'm here.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm here to ask you guys some questions.
All right, okay. So this is an idea that Jeff had over a year ago when we were celebrating our 20th anniversary doing mornings on the radio station. He said, someone should interview you.
Right.
I've been putting it off and...
And here we are.
And here we are.
Right.
And
yes, I love bacon.
I like bacon,
next
too.
Next question. Well,
I got to say, when I brought up the idea, you had the fear of God in your eyes.
Mm.
And I asked you, I said, have you ever been interviewed? And you were like, no. And I'm like, well, this is awesome. You've been interviewing people for 20 plus years, right?
Yeah.
So now we're turning the tables.
Wow. Well, it's not going to be fun.
Yeah, I think it will be.
You think so, Colin?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Does being interviewed by cop count
so much, right? Boring. Justin, boring, right? You want to hear from Jeff.
Right.
I think
there's
a lot of people.
He's got pizza.
He's fascinating life.
Bacon Week.
Fascinating.
There's a lot of people out there wanting to learn a little bit more about you. And I've been asking around, asking friends, asking listeners.
Okay.
And one of the things that I'm not sure everybody knows about is how the two of you guys ended up together. Now, Chaz and I know each other from way back when you were an intern, but then you went to Long Island. Can you just talk just a little bit about how you guys ended up sitting across from each other?
AJ did mornings on a rock station on Long Island. I was out in California, and I applied for a job to do mornings at this radio station on Long Island.
What a sneak, right?
And they hired me, and he was the morning show. Firing him.
Yes, they did.
So I was sitting in a house on Long Island on a Friday morning, listening to him do his last show.
I had no idea.
Knowing that he didn't know he was doing his last show.
That was a great day.
So I was his replacement. So now fast forward, they hire him back to do the night show.
Yeah.
And he was, when we met, it was at the Village Pub, which was like the Toad's Place.
Yeah, because
I was a
fan of yours when you were here. And I was like, oh, cool, I get to meet Chaz. And that day I went to meet you was the only time the entire staff of the radio station came down to an appearance because they thought I was going to kick his ass.
Mm.
And I was not. I was like, no, I want to meet him. And every time I went to go forward to meet him, someone blocked us every single time. So I'm like, well, screw this. I went back to the DJ booth. I was working there on the weekends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, screw this. I'm not going to meet him. And then finally I got him alone, and I walked up and said, hey. You know,
he stuck his hand out. He said, I know it wasn't you. I've been a big fan of yours.
Yeah.
And we became friends. And then they hire him back to do the night show. And I become program director. And I thought he was okay on the air as a DJ, but just okay. And when we would have a staff meeting, he would come in and had everyone laughing their asses off.
Right.
And I said, he's the back of the bus person. He's not the driver. So I moved him from nights into mornings with me, and that's been 27 years.
27 years.
Best decision I ever made.
Best one I ever had, too. Yeah.
So you guys have been together longer than most people have been married.
Yes.
I mean, you know,
still no ring yet, though.
No.
He's
waiting for never a bride.
I'm like Beyonce.
That's right.
Ain't no ring on his finger.
Well, I mean, I have never hired back an employee that I replaced. I mean, I replaced a lot of brewers in my day. And I just thought that's an amazing story, and I think people should know that. I also think that says something about your ability to recognize the people you want around you. I think that's, you know, really impressive. the question that everybody asks me, if I wasn't a brewer, what else would I be doing? You wanted to be a DJ since you were 9 or something, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever have aspirations for something else? And AJ, I think you did a little acting. Don't I remember that?
Acting,
from somewhere?
Yes. I want to be a flamenco dancer, but it's not big over here. And I suck at casting.
There's still time to try it.
I put a rose in my teeth and it hurt. It was a prick in it. So I didn't do any more.
When I just somehow knew I wanted to be in music or something related to music, and I got a guitar, and I was like, man, this is hard.
Yeah.
So I used the
old practice crap.
I used the amplifier and the microphone that I had to pretend I was Stone Man, the old night show here on this radio station.
Right.
Because I, grew up listening to this radio station. And then I got into drums and I was in a band, and I realized, wow, I'd have to depend on 4 other idiots, to make it. And I was like, the radio thing seems more independent.
Yes.
Seems more like you have control over your own future.
Right.
Now, one of my friends asked me to ask this question, so I'm kind of curious. So obviously you guys have had interviews that, they go sideways, they do whatever. Do you both have a universal sign, little wink or a nod to know, like, we're done with this guy? And if you have that universal sign?
Yeah, he hangs up on them. <It's>,
I either ask them to leave the studio,
which has happened,
hang up on them,
right, right,
or I say, listen to this, because the sound you're about to hear is your book going in the garbage.
These are all things that happen.
These all happen.
Yep.
Yeah. The only sign I give, two signs. One, I'll widen my eyes, like, wow, this person's a jerk. That's
right.
What that means.
Yep.
Or I'll do the cross across the neck, meaning we're out of time,
right.
So don't ask anything at this point, because I'm going to wrap it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that I knew what sign it was when you were done with me. So
I'm giving him the sign right
Wide
now.
Wide eyes.
So I've been on the air with you guys. I was trying to figure out 10 or 12 times, only in the studio once before this. And when I was in the studio the last time, I was mesmerized by how well everything is conducted. Quite honestly, Chaz, watching you was like watching a maestro. And, there was the 3 people on this side and Phil in the booth and Ruth over there. And it was immediately obvious that you are conducting the room just by who you look at. And, I found that really interesting. But what's amazing is you're really on the game, but everything sounds ad-libbed. I mean, how long did it take you to get to this point where the two of you literally know what the next guy is going to say and think?
We don't know that yet.
We have no idea. We're still working on that.
Yeah,
one.
We're still working on that.
Right. I make a lot of sounds and I gesture a lot. So
AJ is perfect at dropping in quick one-liners in between, just gaps.
It's reading commercial I suck at.
And Jennifer says it's like a dance that he and I do. We're very, I don't know. I've been with him for 27 years, so a lot of times I don't even, his lines are so fast. He's the fastest, funniest person on the radio.
Well,
and you can't, like, I'll listen back to some segment. I'm like, wow, he had 3 or 4 really funny lines in there that would have stopped the show had everyone heard them. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, I mean, I've been listening. I've been listening to PLR since they started in the 70s, and I've been listening to you guys religiously, and it is amazing. And the fact that the stuff that you come up with, AJ, and it's all ad-libbed, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a skill.
Yeah, there's no planning when it comes to AJ.
No.
None.
No.
Zero.
No, it's like squirrels in my head, basically. If you watch squirrels when they run down the street, same thing happens in my head.
Yeah.
It's just random thoughts just come firing in. A lot of caffeine and then this, martinis on the weekend probably helps with all that, yeah.
Jeff from Brewport Brewery in Bridgeport. Man, we go way back.
Yeah, you're
saying. I was doing the overnights here, and Jeff would come up after he was done in New Haven and bring beer.
Nice.
There were just a couple of kids trying to do what we love to do, and here we are now.
Yep.
Look at you.
I mean, it's amazing that there are people out there that have been able to follow their dream and live it. I never thought beer was ever going to make me any money, but I loved what I was doing. I loved the chemistry behind it. I loved the camaraderie behind it and the people you get to meet. I mean, you guys meet thousands and thousands of people, I would have to believe, and you get in front of them and they all know your name because you're in front of them, you're on the radio. How many times have you had an awkward moment on vacation or at, Stop and Shop or something where somebody came up and immediately they think that you're best friends because they know who you are? Has that ever happened to either of you guys?
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
And people ask me, does it bother me? And I say, no. When it stops happening, then I have a problem.
Yes.
But please come up and say hello.
Yep.
That means, you know, people are still listening.
And I don't mind taking pictures in front of the cucumbers in the produce department.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awkward when you're in the men's room and you're leaking and right. A guy looks over and says, Chaz. Right. It's like, please don't look down.
Can I finish? I'll talk to you in a second. Let me just do this.
No, I love it. I love it.
Yep.
Well, you'd have to. I mean, you know, you're putting yourself out there every day, and, you know, I'm sure not every day you're feeling your best, and you want to give your best to your audience. I mean, it's no different than when we brew a product. You know, not only do we have to like it, but so do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people.
Right.
You know, it's not, I'm not brewing for myself anymore, neither is my son. So to literally put yourself out there, you have to have a pretty thick skin. There's got to be, you know, a moment where, you
AJ
know,
has thick skin.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really have thick
skin.
I'm like
an elephant.
No, I would say I'm kind of a pussy. I think the tribe knows it, too. It's like he could take it.
I take it a lot.
He takes it a lot. You know,
every day.
Here's what you did, though.
But,
you made it funny.
Yeah.
Like, when you get mad, people are like, oh, this is hysterical.
Oh, yeah. I'm hilarious sometimes.
So when a guest doesn't show up or we're only a couple of minutes into news and, like, it's not going well.
Yeah.
And it starts going his... He starts getting the focus. That's
yep.
That's when he knows this is going to be bad.
Yep.
Like, if it's like 4 minutes after the hour and you could tell the story's not taking root.
Yep.
He gets very afraid to flubble because then he knows this is what it's going to be.
This is, yes.
It's going to become flubbling.
Dog piling the agent.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, you know, you just mentioned the flubbling and yes. People love it. Absolutely love it, and to
my boss doesn't.
Well, you made a whole segment about it at the end of every week.
Yeah, you know, isn't that wonderful?
It is obvious sometimes that you are. We could hear that you're a little perturbed.
Yes.
So you have to have thick skin because you know I'm a big fan of laugh with me, laugh at me. At least you're laughing.
Yeah.
But sometimes the laugh at me stuff's got to get tough.
Yeah, well, luckily I was tempered my entire childhood before I got this job.
That's how you got into comedy, right?
Like
you started getting picked on and bullied, and you realized making people laugh would turn it around for you.
It was actually in class. I actually said out loud what I normally said under my breath, and someone went, "What was that?" And I'm like, "Ugh!" I'm like, "Oh no!" I said it out loud, and they're like, "No, dude, say it again." I did. They burst out laughing. That turned into everybody like, "Hey, this guy's funny." And I became a class clown instead. So well, the beating stopped, which is good.
Not the verbal beatings. But
no,
the physical beatings,
those,
the wedgies.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's hard to punch a guy that's making you laugh.
That's
a good point.
You know, I've always had bad legs, so I can't run very fast.
Yeah, I wear flops a lot. So.
I had to make make people want to listen to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the biggest guy in the room, and if I pissed you off, I would, you know... Let's hit the hemophiliac. That's a really fun game that, right. You know, we had when we were younger.
Let's hit the bleeder.
Right. Yeah.
So another question I got from one of my friends is, what is the best, worst story of something that happened to you guys? And what I mean by that is, you know, something went completely sideways. It was horrible, but it ended up working in spades. Either, you know, you just started ripping them a new one and that was funny. Or, you know, what's your best, worst story?
Martha Wash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That was interesting.
Oh my God! It was an interview that I literally broke a sweat.
You could actually hear it.
Drenched in sweat.
You could hear it.
I felt like I just got done running a 5K.
That was so bizarre.
She came on. I don't know if she was on drugs or not. She's the one who sings "Everybody Dance
right.
Now."
Right. CNC Music Factory. Also one of the Weather Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Raining
Men. I'll
have
to play it for you. Know what? We'll repost that today, so I don't have to go through the whole story for those who have heard it a million times.
Right.
But it was very uncomfortable. And it has multiple parts.
Multiple layers.
And it was very uncomfortable for me, but it turned out to be like one of the funniest interviews we ever had, unintentionally.
Right.
Well, that's the greatest thing that can happen. You know, I obviously, you know, go back and equate things to beer. When you're a brew pub brewer and something goes wrong, as long as the beer is good, you can just rename it. And sometimes it's a big hit. We had a problem when I was back at bar in New Haven, and one of the beers got hot side aerated, which makes it kind of taste a little cardboardy.
Okay.
A buddy of mine was a beekeeper, gave me 25 gallons of honey. I mixed it in. It balanced that astringency. People loved it. And to this
day, holy crap.
They're always asking, when are you going to make Buzzy's Honey Brown Ale again?
Nice.
I'm like, the next time I screw up a batch of beer, I guess.
We got lots of it all of a sudden. Please drink it.
So we're asking about past interviews. What about future interviews? Is there somebody on your bucket list? I mean, do you want to interview De Niro or somebody totally bizarre that, you know, we would never even think about?
I haven't had an interview with a sitting United States president. I've spoken to two sitting United States vice presidents, multiple senators, a Supreme Court justice, never a sitting U.S. president.
That would be wild. I know that Trump tried to call you one time, right?
Yes, he did. And we did speak to Biden when he was vice president.
Uh-huh.
So you can kind of say we've spoken to a president, but not a sitting president.
Yeah, they weren't official yet, yes. Yeah.
So I've actually drank beer with a presidential candidate, Hickenlooper from Colorado, who was governor, ran for president, I don't know, 8 years ago. He owned a brewery in Denver. And I drank more than enough beers that I could have gotten some of the national secrets out of the guy.
Wow, oh, no kidding.
That was a lot of fun. He's a super nice guy, too.
He ran for president?
He ran for president.
Did he have a chance?
No, it was when the Democrats had like 8-9 guys running. But he was governor for a while, so that was kind of cool. You know, there's always...
Oh, okay, so this is before all the primaries and all this, before they had a... Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that was kind of wild. AJ, do you have anybody?
Schwarzenegger.
That would be cool. And, you know, he used to come around frequently. He would go to the Owl Shop and smoke cigars when I was at bar.
Love cigars.
Well, you could do Schwarzenegger.
Right, right.
So why don't you interview BAJ and then interview Arnold.
Arnold, it's nice to talk to you. It's nice to be here. It's nice to talk to all the people here and in the New Haven area.
Jeff Browning, owner of Brewport, partner, Brewport Brewing in Bridgeport here, and he wanted to flip the tables on us.
Yep.
He wanted to do this during our 20th anniversary. I was like, Anyway, he said, all right, it's time.
Yes.
So anything else you want to know?
Well, I got a few more questions here. Chaz, you mentioned, I mentioned earlier that I've been listening to PLR since it started, right? 84 or something like that. 74, something like that, right?
72.
All right. AJ, were you aware of the channel and the show before you got hired on here?
Oh, yeah. No, I was a fan of PLR when we lived in Long Island.
You applied here?
Yeah, several times. Oh.
When I left to go to Dallas, I was doing the night show, and I took over a morning show in Dallas. You applied for my job.
I sent the tape, yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
I mean,
he applied for my job.
I didn't get it.
I applied for his job.
Right, but he got it.
It's like a romantic comedy, just back and forth.
That's
back
right.
And forth. Then he finally meets, and here we are, 20-something years.
Serendipitous.
Exactly.
So everybody who has been listening to PLR for years remembers Smith & Barber. And for you guys to come in and literally step into their very large shoes, both of them were very big people.
Very tall people.
That had to be petrifying. Tell me a little bit, what was it like to jump in here and know that, you know, you were going to be scrutinized and you better do it right?
Yeah, we didn't, you know, you always want to take over for the person who failed.
Yeah.
Not the person who, the show that just had their best book in 17 years. You don't want to come in after that.
No.
But I knew that merry-go-round probably wouldn't come back around again. So I'm like, yeah, all right, we're gonna do it. It was a dream of mine to do it. So when I got the call from Eddie, I was like, of course.
Yep.
Now, our plan, they wanted to sign us for a 3-year deal. And I said, well, let's do a 1-year deal.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I want to see if we're all still happy at the end of 1 year.
Right.
We figured we'd be the most hated show for the first year. And then people would start to come around the second year. And we felt like by the third year,
they might like
we would
us.
Start getting traction and be number one and all those things.
Yeah.
The very first ratings book, out of the gate, we were number one.
That was pretty wild.
The second ratings book, we posted the highest ratings in the history of the radio station in Morning Drive. And we've topped out a couple of times since then.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the folks here were very welcoming. Now, of course, they loved the show. So they're like, hey, screw these people. Who are these guys?
Right.
They're not my cup of coffee.
Right.
I'm out.
Yeah.
But to their credit, and I appreciate them, and it speaks to their generosity when we do a toy drive.
Yeah.
That they said, all right, we'll give them a chance. If PLR trusts them, we'll trust them.
Yes, thank you.
We'll try it.
Yep.
And,
I mean, the rest is history, really,
right? It's been pretty good.
I was going to change cars on the way home.
Yeah.
I mean, it's truly incredible that you started off as number one and you found a way to still grow higher, to still be better. Because, you know, taking over for Joe Torre as a Yankee manager was never going to go well. And yet you guys did it and never looked back. That's really impressive. And the fact that, you know, 20 plus years later, you're still doing it is amazing. One of the questions that I thought of was, you guys have been together, you just said 27 years. Has there been any thought of, you know, doing a solo album, so to speak, you know, going out on your own?
No. This is it.
Leaving here, yes. No. You know, when we got here,
right. two or three times a week.
Depends what time you talk to.
It's usually very calm. Not very calm, though.
You know, it's funny, like when you're younger, you know, New York City's the big market. And when you're in radio, you're like the top of the mountain would be the number one show in New York City.
Yeah.
It doesn't get higher than that.
No.
So that was always in the back of my mind. And we got here in several times, every time contract time would come around. Larger companies would be interested in us. Up until about 10 years ago, I just stopped taking the calls.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I'm never going to leave here. This is my home. Where am I going to go?
Right, right.
Am I going to do that again? So we've been interviewed for Boston multiple times, Philadelphia, Washington.
Yep.
And could have had any of these jobs.
Could have.
We were once flown out to, this is before we got here.
Yeah.
They put us on a private jet.
Yes.
I mean, wow. Like, we got That's on cool. a jet. They closed the freaking door.
Yeah.
We sat down. They fire up the engines.
Right.
It's then they brought us to Milwaukee.
Brewer Stadium.
Brewer Stadium.
Had a nice
There's
lunch.
There's no one in there.
Yeah.
We're having lunch there looking over the field. And they're trying to talk us into. I'm like, holy crap. This was pretty good.
Was pretty cool.
So you're Taylor Swift for a day.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's a nice feeling, but like I don't want to crack a mic open now in a city and say, hello, my name is, and his name is, and
right.
here's my backstory. Like, man, I'm good.
Plus, they have photos of me, so I can't leave.
Well, I was meant to finish it out here.
Yeah.
Being one of the tribe, that is excellent news to hear. You are invited into, I don't know, tens of thousands of homes and cars every morning, and people would miss you. So I'm glad to hear you guys are going to be sticking it out for the long haul.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As long as they'll have us.
All right.
Exactly.
You might want to change your tune right before the next contract negotiation.
No, you know what? We're in a good place now. We don't even, you know, we know we love each other.
Yep.
So it goes pretty fast.
Well, that's
we don't play any games anymore.
No.
It used to be, let me get some offers, then I'll come back. And now it's like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, so your cards are right there on the table.
It's easy.
Yep.
There's no game playing.
Well, there's nothing easy about what you do. So at least that side of things, if that's easy for you, that's terrific.
Right.
So got a little tougher question for you. So,
okay.
You know,
it's
I'm sure
math,
that lots of people here have been listening to you guys for years and years and years. You had a little bit of a shakeup a little over a year ago. So, what happened with your former producer?
Wow, look, we're out of time.
Damn it!
No, you know what? That job is a grind.
It is.
It is a thankless grind, and you don't make a ton of money. And part of the experience was to be on the air. And the company felt like we need more behind the scenes with the social media and all this stuff and less on the air. And that's, I think she woke up and said, I don't know if I want to do this. And get up in the middle of the night in the winter, shovel my car off, come in and then you're on call all friggin' day, 7 o'clock at night. Hey, can you get this person on tomorrow at 8?
Yeah.
You know, and to her credit, she was like, yeah, you know what? I'm not happy. I'm going to leave.
Right.
Most people would just be miserable and make everybody else miserable. She left.
Oh, well, being miserable doesn't work on the radio. That's, that wouldn't work at all.
No.
That's interesting because I know that people have been, curious. everybody remembers Pam. And wasn't she here recently?
She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's doing great. I believe she's back in Connecticut now with the Coast Guard. I know the last time I talked to her, she was driving back. So
yep.
Well, if she didn't get lost, she's been back.
She's still out there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook is this amazing system of keeping people connected. And when she graduated, I just thanked her on Facebook, and she remembered who I was and wrote a little comment.
Of course.
It was awesome. It was really cool.
She's good like that, yeah.
So do you have, I mean,
I got to wrap it, honestly, because just the clock. But go ahead, real quick, and I'll give you a five-second answer.
All I was going to ask, is there anybody in your past that you feel you should thank for being where you are right now?
Oh, man. That's a long list.
Yeah.
It's like everybody.
Everybody.
Anybody listening right now?
Yeah, thank you.
Really?
Well, thank you guys for letting me come in and interview you.
I wish I had a longer time to answer that one.
Yeah.
Because that one really, but just everyone would be the short answer, really. Thank you, Jeff.
Hey, thank you guys.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
If you get stung by a scorpion in the testicles,
yes.
Who do you call?
Ghostbusters.
This guy.
Ballbusters.
Attorney Brian Virag.
I was thinking the same thing, guys. Ghostbusters may be able to help you, but I don't know how much, actually.
It's funny.
Really funny.
We found you by doing this recent story where a guy was bitten in the testicles by a scorpion in his hotel room.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, crazy story indeed. You know, interestingly, I built my career helping victims of people exposed to bed bugs in cruise ships and apartments and hotels. And our slogan was, when the bed bugs start biting, we start fighting. But since this case happened, I think I got to change my slogan to, when the scorpions start stinging, the phones start ringing.
Nice.
You are a Ghostbusters-like person.
Got to have a slogan. Yeah. Right. We're ready to believe you.
Saying.
Yes.
I'm really happy to be on the show. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy what happened.
How does a guy get bit by in the testicles by a scorpion? How does a scorpion get into a hotel room?
In his bed? That's a great question. You know, obviously, because it's an ongoing litigation thing, we're going to be able to get to the bottom of what happened here. But clearly, unacceptable. Obviously unacceptable. Oh. Getting stung in the testicles by a scorpion in Vegas at a 5-star hotel is... Yeah, I'm not going to say it, but it is nuts. You know what I mean?
He was quite testy, yes.
Which hotel was it?
This was at the Palazzo.
The Palazzo.
Which is run by the Venetian.
Got to ride the Palazzo.
That's that's 5-star.
Now, is it like rattlesnakes where you got to suck the poison out?
Because that's
when you find out who your best friend is.
That's when you find out who your friend is.
I don't know, but...
I think I'd rather
die. I don't think I'd volunteer.
That's why you got
that
the Ghostbusters
one,
machine.
Yeah.
Right.
You may need it. You may need it for something like this.
That's an interesting question, though. If you were stung in the testicles.
There's not much time.
And you don't have much time.
Yeah.
And your guy friend is standing there. Would you ask him to suck the venom out of your testicle, or would you die?
I'd probably hesitate for sure. I don't know if I don't know. That's a tough question, but you know, you can't leave a good man down, right?
Well, see,
I'm going to die.
But look, you have the guy suck the poison and then kill him.
There is that option,
right? Yeah. Dead men tell no tales.
If I was, if I was the friend, I would tell the guy who got stung to remove a rib. You got to work on that.
Or get double jointed real quick.
Or maybe find another volunteer. I don't know.
Is there anyone else available?
Oh, they're available. A couple $100, yes.
The world's number one bed bug lawyer on the phone right now. We're linked up to his stuff on the radio station website. You got the largest bed bug verdict against an apartment complex in U.S. history.
I did. Guilty as charged.
What happened there? How many people were affected by the bed bugs?
We had, in that case, I think it was 6 units, and it was the largest apartment complex west of the Mississippi. And we had, I think it was 6 units or 7 units, and there was 16 people in that case. And I mean, they just went through it, treatment after treatment, had to throw away all their stuff like multiple times, ended up having to move, ended up at the doctor, the emergency room, scarring from the bed bug bites, things like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it was a miserable, miserable situation. And the apartment complex could have done better. And I guess that's what the jury found. And, you know, we're very fortunate they were we were able to bring some justice to those people. They really went through it.
$3.4 million.
Wow.
Ka-ching. We'll take that every day of the week, guys, for sure.
How
for
is sure. it that we don't have more bed bug stories coming out of Vegas or New York, or these cities that people come to all the time?
From different countries.
From all over the world.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's it's also that's also a stay tuned question. But the idea is that I had a case against Disneyland, and we were able to secure a $100,000 settlement against Disneyland Hotel just back, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago. And it was the first time Disneyland ever ended up paying on a bed bug case. But, you know, there's problems everywhere. It really doesn't matter if it's a one-star or five-star hotel. I mean, bed bugs don't check TripAdvisor before they infest a hotel.
No Travelocity?
But the one-star, it's hard to make a case against.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Well, you paid $35.
Yeah,
what'd you expect?
Out of the parking lot. One of
There's
the two.
Bloodstains, human fluids,
right.
And bed bugs.
Right.
Relax.
Well, you know, interestingly, the way the law works, it there are laws and codes and statutes that, you know, when you're renting out hotel rooms, they have to be vermin-free, whether that's bed bugs, cockroaches, scorpions, things like that. So really, there's no delineation or demarcation that, you know, if you spend less than $50 a night, then you are subjected to bed bugs.
Huh.
Totally. And so, yeah, I mean,
wow.
I probably had cases against every major hotel chain that there is. Not all of them are publicized, but yeah, no, they're everywhere. And Vegas that you mentioned, Vegas is blowing up right now. And so there's going to be a lot of action coming out of Vegas. And obviously, as you guys probably have heard, Paris, where they're doing the Summer Olympics, that place is overrun also. So I anticipate a lot of action going on over there, too.
Hold it. We have the bed bug attorney on, attorney Brian Virag. We're linked up on his, on our radio station website.
Yeah.
If I read between the lines here, I think I hear you saying there are bed bug cases in Vegas. You just don't hear about them because part of the settlement is
shut up.
We don't talk about it.
Yeah,
it
stays in Vegas.
Yeah, well, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas,
exactly.
You know what I mean? But
yep.
Not if you get bed bugs.
No.
Yeah, you totally can bring them home. I mean, we've got cases where a lot of people have gone to hotels. They get exposed to bed bugs. They're all bitten up, chewed up, and then they end up bringing them back to their place. And then their homes are infested or their apartments are infested. And it could cost thousands of dollars to try to get rid of them. So it's really a miserable situation for people.
So you see how you didn't comment on that?
Right.
That was pretty good.
You're good, you.
Yeah, so it's not – do some of these settlements include not talking about them?
They do.
Okay.
In fact, they do. But I could tell you this, that we've got tons of cases in Vegas heating up as we speak. And you know, when the bed bugs start biting, we start fighting. And basically
slogan.
The idea is that, yeah, the idea is that Vegas is overrun. It's overrun in most of the major hotels and even the off-brand hotels and things like that. So there's going to be a lot of news coming out of Vegas over the next, you know, 3 to 6 months minimum.
Oh. I think the Wynn and the Encore are probably no cases, right?
Well, you know, obviously, as a lawyer, I can't really comment on that at this time.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, no place is immune, really, to tell you the truth. No place is immune.
What's the oddest case you've had in terms of critters in a hotel room?
Besides a scorpion?
Yeah, scorpion to the testicles seems like that would be number one. Is there a number two or three?
There are two and three. I tell you, I had a case where some people stayed in a hotel and the bed bugs ended up in their ears and laying eggs, bed bug eggs in people's ears. And the one person who I had in that case, she was actually a order taker at Burger King.
Oh.
And so she had to wear the headset thing. And so she wasn't able to hear. So she ended up going to the doctor. And what ended up happening was they found bed bugs and bed bug eggs in her ears as a result of the exposure.
She kept hearing million orders in her ears.
Exactly. Would you like fries with that or what?
She had a colony.
Yes, in her ears.
Really terrible. I mean, I've also had cases where people have gone on cruises, and their stateroom is filled with bed bugs, and they're getting chewed up, and they're literally just like on the ocean, and they can't get off the boat, and that's also like a really miserable situation.
I would sleep on the deck.
Yeah,
you will on the reclining chair there,
exactly.
Right on the deck as the sun.
I mean,
comes
I do that
up.
On cruises anyway.
Believe it.
If you didn't get them in your ears or whatever, can you just shower them off?
Well, you can shower them off, but the idea with bed bugs is that they're nocturnal in nature, and what happens is when a bed bug bites you, they are attracted to carbon dioxide and body heat, which is what humans emanate while they're sleeping.
Right.
So they come out of their nests,
some
their harborages.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really gross, I'll be honest with you. So they come out of their nests, and then they feed on you. And typically how they feed is they inject you with an anesthetic,
yeah,
so you don't feel the bite, and they have an anticoagulant, which enables them to suck your blood, and you don't feel it. So you wake up in the morning, the bed bugs are gone, and all you have is markings all over your body.
Basically, Wendy's late night drive through at night for bugs. Eat great, even late.
You know, so the stories, I mean, so many of them. I mean, I've had people who are blind, visually impaired, and literally they're getting chewed up by bed bugs. They don't know what's happening. They're just itching and scratching all day. And then their care worker comes over and sees, like, full-blown infestation. They throw them in the shower, and they're literally just showering the bed bugs off of their body.
Wow.
I mean, it's gross. I know, right?
Well, luckily,
right now.
There's you.
Yes.
To make it right. To scare these people into doing the right thing.
Right. When they start biting, you start fighting.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, hotels got to be responsible to make sure that when you go to a hotel and you pay somebody for accommodations, the accommodations got to be danger free. And obviously, bed bugs are like probably the number one issue that hotels face, not only because they're dangerous to humans, but also it's a brand reputation thing. You know, so it's like you don't want someone like me getting involved and then, you know, you're papered all over the media because you didn't handle your business.
Right.
And so it's really also about public awareness. You know, and most people, they don't really put two and two together. They go to a hotel. They got some bites on their body. They're like, oh, yeah, maybe mosquitoes or something else. But oftentimes it's overlooked. And it's hard to find these bugs sometimes because they're like super small.
Ugh.
Full grown, they're like the size of an apple seed.
The ear story I'm going to remember forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to chew your ass so bad.
Well, my bed bug lawyer, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it, Brian. Responding to a report of lewd behavior, a sheriff's deputy located two suspects trysting on a patch of grass across from the Vero Beach restaurant.
Well,
Popeyes.
There's two drive-thrus.
Which is directly adjacent to U.S. Highway 1.
Someone's being served already.
It'd be funnier if it was an In-N-Out burger.
Right.
According to the arrest report, the cops spotted Arnold Mackey, 70.
70, look at that.
Making a thrusting motion on top of April White, 44.
Wow, look at that.
When confronted by a deputy around 2 p.m.
So afternoon.
2 p.m.
Yeah, a little nooner. Right? Lunchtime.
The duo began adjusting their shorts.
Oh, look at that, see? Just don't wing it.
Mackey, the deputy noted, appeared flustered and was unable to fully pull up his shorts, which left his penis fully exposed to oncoming traffic.
Well, we're also going to see a pecker. Popeyes.
It is Popeyes.
It is Popeyes, right?
Yep. Claiming she had done nothing wrong, White reportedly struggled with the cop and called him something I don't want to say on the radio.
Okay.
Rhymes with maggot.
Gotcha.
And other obscenities as he sought to restrain her.
Oh.
White, who smelled of alcohol, was escorted to the ground. Escorted right. to the ground.
As in
here,
down.
Let me escort you.
Right.
I'm going to escort your face into this grass.
Right. Face grass. Grass face. You were there before.
Let me escort you down to the ground.
There you go.
Her face was escorted to the ground where police found four empty bottles of vodka and an unopened bottle of rum.
Wow.
Man, they had a whole night planned.
They really did. In the afternoon.
That's right. It was 2 in the afternoon.
Right, yeah. The chicken was baked and so were they. They're both fried.
A motorist who called 911 after spotting the duo said, quote, he did a double take, end quote.
Yep.
Because he couldn't believe what he was seeing.
Right, some kind of dance was being on here.
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah.
She being mugged is, what's happening here?
Yep.
She had bed bugs?
Apparently so. Right.
Maybe she was just bitten by a scorpion. He's trying to help her.
Exactly, right. Or she was trying to help him, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the two.
The witness added that the female had her legs spread open and the male was, yeah, I'm going to stop right there.
Okay. Do the math.
Doing things with his.
Do the math.
Hand in full view of traffic.
Right. Got it by the biscuits.
You know, I've never had Popeye's chicken.
Oh, it's delicious.
And
are you going to try it now?
Story, it's not at all.
It's delicious. You should get the box.
Is that the best chicken place in the country?
It's really good.
Popeyes, KFC, Chick-fil-A.
I would put it Popeyes, Chick-fil-A, then KFC.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Popeyes is really good chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep. It's effing good chicken.
After being read his rights, Mackey reportedly said it was not his intention to expose himself.
Right, it just kind of happened.
And that he had asked White to leave the side of the road, but she refused.
No.
I like that. It's her fault.
It is.
I wanted to go somewhere else.
Someplace
she
decent.
She said no, so I was like, who might argue?
Yeah, I want to get to a
He's
fight.
He's on retirement. He's 70.
Exactly right.
It's quite a party.
Too tired to fight, and I only had so much room in that blue pill.
Recognizing that he was in plain view of passing motorists, Mackey said that he would apologize to the judge.
Nice. I'm sorry you saw that.
Both White and Mackey were arrested for exposure of sexual organs, a misdemeanor.
Oh.
White was also charged with resisting arrest and disorderly intoxication.
Did you get the order?
I was just thinking that.
Right.
How was the chicken?
Right.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.